Our dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing that you are at work in us in ways that we can honestly say, it is well with my soul. I pray that we could come to know Christ better this morning, and because we know him better, we become more like him. And he has more influence in how we think about God, ourselves, and other people. So whisper to our hearts this morning, I pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Last week I asked you how well you know yourself. And we all kind of had to admit that there are parts of ourselves that we don't understand. But that God knows himself perfectly. This week I want to ask you, how well do you know other people? Have you ever misjudged someone? Have you ever thought someone was more trustworthy than they turned out to be? Or has it been the opposite way too? You suspected somebody that they weren't trustworthy, but it was just your own bias. It was your own prejudice. It turns out we're not very good at judging each other. It turns out we tend to remember when we get it right and forget all the times we got it wrong. It turns out that we say more about ourselves when we judge somebody else than what we say about them. But in this study of what does God know, it's important for me to understand Christ knows every living being perfectly. Every person who ever has lived, every person who is alive now, every person who ever will live, Christ knows them perfectly. He has never misjudged anyone. He's never misunderstood anyone. Because he knows every human being perfectly. The author of Hebrews said this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." You might be interested to know that the original says two-mouthed sword. It's the idea that a sword bit you, it didn't cut you. Pretty interesting. No? Anyone? All right. We'll go on. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The very first thing the author of Hebrews says is, Christ is a living and active mind. The Word of God isn't talking about the Bible here. The Bible is not living. The Word of God goes back to John 1:1 that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I could easily insert here For Christ is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. What the Bible is saying is, Christ is a living, perfect intelligence. Now, you've heard all a bunch of stuff about artificial intelligence. You've watched science fiction shows about very, very smart people. But none of that even gives me an adequate impression of the perfect intelligence of Jesus Christ. When you look at Jesus Christ, you see perfect intelligence, perfect divine intelligence, and perfect human intelligence. Do we have all the lights on? In Christ, there is not a flawed thought. In Christ, there is not a misunderstanding. In Christ, there is not a need to learn something that he doesn't know. Jesus Christ is a perfect living intelligence. Listen to what Charnock said. I introduced you to Charnock last week. He is one of the greatest theologians in the English language. Listen to what he wrote. As God hath a higher manner of being than his creatures, so he hath another and higher manner of knowing. And we can as little comprehend his manner of knowing as we can the manner of his being. Listen to what Charnock said. The existence of God is infinite and perfect. And it's impossible for me to understand that. I don't understand infinite and perfect. And Charnock says, as we cannot understand the existence of God, we can't understand the mind of God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They are so much higher than what we're capable of. But when I tell you Christ knows you perfectly, it is because he is a perfect living intelligence. And he's not capable of misunderstanding you or misjudging you. It doesn't just say he's a perfect living intelligence. It also says that he's active. It's actually the Greek word energes, from which we get the word energy. We get our word energy from the Greek word energes. He is a perfect, living, active intelligence. His intelligence is an energetic intelligence. Why does that matter? Have you ever had brain drain? Anyone? You just worked on something to the point that your brain was oatmeal. And I've had brain drain before, and I couldn't make a decision to inhale and exhale if I had to. This perfect mind of Christ has never had brain drain. There's never been a day where he had to think so hard and work so long and concentrate so diligently that it exhausted him. The mind of Christ is a living, intelligent mind, and it has all the energy it needs to do everything that Christ needs to do. How can Christ know every human soul? Because his intelligence is an energetic intelligence that cannot be exhausted. Christ distinguishes between soul and spirit. What does that mean? Well, first it means Christ knows your unique soul. He knows your unique personality perfectly. Christ doesn't know you as a species. He doesn't know you as a collective. He knows every single one of you as a unique soul. I want to tell you how he knows you as a unique soul. Every one of us are an expression of the creative imagination of Christ. Before you existed, Christ imagined you. You are the expression of his creative imagination. Every human soul originated in the imagination of this incredible, perfect intelligence. Second, he knows the spirit of humanity, which we all share. He knows you as an absolutely unique person, but he also knows you're not alone in the world. You are part of another part of his creation, humanity. The scripture says, God knows that we are only flesh. He knows the capacity of the species. He's not judging you as a unique person and holding you to a standard that the species is incapable of. He knows you as an individual, but he knows all of us as humanity and what we're capable of. God isn't comparing you with angels. He's not comparing you with some other standard. He knows the unique soul of man, and he knows the spirit of humanity. But he also knows the Holy Spirit who abides in every believer. He is an active, energetic intelligence. He knows your unique soul. He knows the spirit of humanity, and he knows his own spirit that abides in you. How is it that Christ knows you perfectly? Because he knows you completely. He knows your soul. He knows the spirit of humanity. He knows the spirit of the Holy Spirit who abides in you. And so because he knows these things, he knows you perfectly. And then he understands the distinction of connections, joints, and the distinction of essence, maros. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It separates soul and spirit. It distinguishes between joints and marrow. What does that mean? Christ knows the joints. He knows what holds us together. You get this? Christ knows what holds you together. He knows what you need to be your best self tomorrow. He knows what you need to be the person he created you to be. But he also knows the joints, the connections. He knows what connects us to others. Do you want to know something beautiful about Christ? If you walk with him, he'll connect you to other people who will be a strength and a blessing in your life. You don't have to do it alone. He knows how to make the connections. He knows who to connect you to. When I was 18 and didn't know anything other than I knew it all, God connected me to Sharon, best connection in my whole life. God knows how to connect us. But listen, he also knows how to separate connections that aren't good. There are some of you who are holding on to bad connections in your life. And you need to let Christ make some clean separations so that these bad connections don't go on corrupting your soul. Church. He doesn't just know the connections, he knows the essence. The essence of bone is marrow. Christ knows the essence of who we are. He knows what makes us do what we do. I'm trying to show you that Christ knows you perfectly. He knows you better than you know yourself. What does God know? He knows each and every human being individually and perfectly. He knows your soul. He knows your spirit. He knows what you need to be joined to, and he knows the essence of who you are and what makes you tick. Christ knows the activity of every human mind. He discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. This word discern is interesting. See what English word you connect it with. Kritikos. Critical. Critique. That's we actually get our English word from critique from this word. He is a critiquer of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Now, I know you've heard the word critique, and you've connected with critical, and it's only negative. That's just somebody who criticizes you all the time. But that's not really what this word means. A good critique is designed to help you get better. Somebody being critical and insulting you, that's meanness. But a good critique is, it's designed to help you be better. Right? If I had jelly all over my beard, a friend of mine would say to me, "Hey, dude, you better take a look in the mirror and wipe that jelly off before you go up there today." Right? That's a good critique. That helps me. You all wouldn't have to, you wouldn't all sit there all through the service going. A good critique is designed to help me be better, to fix something I'm not doing right. And so Christ is capable of critiquing what needs critiqued in us. He critiques the mind with perfect and helpful insights. All right, I have to admit, I'm not as good as I should be. I'm never going to get better by being criticized. Do you believe that? People don't get better by being criticized. If people got better by being criticized, we'd all be perfect by now. We don't get better by being criticized. We get better by someone we trust saying, "I recognize this in you, and I'd like to help you overcome that. I'd like to help you outgrow that. I would like to help you find a better way." Listen, Christ knows you perfectly. And so when he critiques you, it is from an insight that is designed to do nothing more than help you become more of the best person he created you to be. Those little critiques that the Holy Spirit are whispering to you day by day, that is the love of the mind of Christ. That is Christ saying, "I know you, and you're better than this. You're capable of more than this. This is not going to get you where you want to be." And he gives us these gentle daily critiques, and they come right out of the riches of his understanding. Then we have two different words for thinking. He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions. Let's deal with thoughts first. The word means reflections, ideas, imagination. Christ knows your efforts to reflect on healthy and unhealthy ideas. Do you get this? When you're reflecting on things, when you're thinking about things, Christ knows your healthy thoughts. But what about those days when I'm reflecting on something and it's not healthy? Those mean thoughts, those ugly thoughts, those insulting thoughts, church. Christ knows those too. Christ knows your healthy and unhealthy imaginations. The imagination that is such a gift of God, it can be very healthy and creative, or it can be very ugly. And it can be nothing more than practicing to do wrong, church. And so the scriptures say, what does Christ know? He knows your healthy and unhealthy thinking. He blesses your healthy thoughts and he critiques your unhealthy thoughts. I like it when I sense the Holy Spirit saying to me, are you really going to think that way? Is that really going to think that way? You're going to really play that stupid thing over in your head another 45 times, church? I like it when the Holy Spirit, God's a partner in my soul, says to me, that's just not healthy thinking. I like it when the Holy Spirit says to me, stop it! Church, God knows my thoughts. He knows my reflections. He knows my imagination. And he is committed to being a healthy critic. When I'm thinking well, he supports my thinking. He encourages my thinking. He blesses my thinking. When I'm not thinking well, he says, hey, Hoss, we need to redirect. But it's not just my reflections, my ideas, and my imagination. There's a second word, and this word is connected to mental intentions, mental attitudes. Christ knows your intentions, not just your actions. How many of us have intended to do something that God interrupted and didn't let us do? Huh? It's called restraining grace. Everyone in this room would have done dumber stuff than we've done, except there is a great Christ who knows our intentions, and sometimes by his restraining grace, he just doesn't let what we intended to do happen. Oh, the blessed times when I intended to say something that God kept me from saying. Church, Jesus Christ knows you perfectly, and he knows your intentions, not just your actions. Listen to what Charnock says. God acquires no new knowledge of the thoughts and the hearts by the discovery of them in action. God doesn't have to wait to see what you do to know what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts. This word also means mental attitudes. Those days you have a healthy mental attitude, there is your great friend, Jesus Christ, cheerleading you on with that healthy attitude. Those days that you have an ugly, bad attitude, there is your friend critiquing you and saying, you got a bad attitude. You need to get back in the game, church. Christ knows our intentions, our attitudes, our reflections, our imaginations, and he's committed to blessing us where we're thinking right and critiquing us where we're not thinking right. And he can do it perfectly because he knows us perfectly. And then we get to verse 13. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to his eyes, to the eyes of him with him, whom we must give an account. I read that poorly. Let me do it again. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Sometimes I learn things in the King James English and all right. No creature is hidden. Every single one of you, Christ knows you perfectly. Do you get it? No one escapes his knowledge. No one. All right. He doesn't just know you because you're a good Christian. He knows ugly, broken, ruined people. And he knows them perfectly. Church? It isn't just the good and upright that he knows perfect. It's the broken and the reprobate that he knows perfectly. Now, I'm going to tell you why that's important in a minute. I just want to reemphasize the point that he knows everyone. I look out at the world, and it doesn't take a moral genius to say, there are corrupt people out there. There are bad people out there. They have bad intentions, church. They hurt people. Christ knows all the reflections and intentions of evil people. And it is my belief that the world would be infinitely worse if Christ didn't act in millions of unseen, unknown ways to restrain evil. Does he restrain all evil? No. I'm sorry. I can't tell you why. In his divine plan, he does not restrain all evil. But I am a firm believer. He restrains a whole lot more evil than you and I will ever imagine. He knows thoughts and intentions, and he restrains evil. But he also knows good. He knows good thoughts. He knows good intentions. And it is my belief that as he restrains evil, he blesses good. God is not morally neutral. God is not randomly acting in a random world. God is purposeful. And with a perfect knowledge of those who are good and evil, he restrains evil for his own glory, and he blesses good for his own glory. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Christ even sees what is hidden from us. There are things I can't see about myself. I have blind spots. Church, we've shared this before. I'm never as good as I think I am on my best day. You know those best days when you're in the zone. You're making stuff happen. There's sparks in the air around you. I'm never that good. I'm never as bad as I am on my worst day. I have blind spots. On my worst day, a little voice in me says, you're an idiot. Why don't you just go down in the basement? On my best day, I think, wow, I'm Superman. I might try flying today. We're never as good as we are at our best, and we're never as bad as we are at our worst. We have blind spots, but I want you to know God has no blind spots. There is nothing hidden. What I don't understand about myself, Christ does understand. What I can't see about myself, Christ can see. There is nothing hidden, not even the stuff that I try to hide. Church. It's all naked and exposed. This word for exposed is very, very interesting. It's based on the idea of your throat being exposed. Your throat exposed to danger. Where you are most vulnerable, your throat, it's exposed. And what is implied is where you are most vulnerable in your inner self and you do everything you can to keep it covered, it's totally exposed to the mind of Christ. You can't hide anything from Christ. Church, what we try to cover up from each other, we cannot hide from Christ. Your inner life is naked and totally exposed to the perfect knowledge of Christ. What does Christ know? He knows you perfectly. Why is that important? Why do I have to think about that? Because to him, we must give an account. Do you hear this? The perfect knowledge of Christ is taught to us because someday his perfect knowledge is going to hold me and you accountable. Do you hear it? We judge poorly because we only know partially. We judge our friends poorly because we only know them partially. We judge our enemies poorly because we only know them partially. We judge poorly because we fail to recognize our own bias. I don't look at myself and say, I am biased, I am prejudiced, I prejudge this. We judge poorly because our standards vacillate. Do you have to admit you let your friends slide with things you won't let your enemy slide with? If somebody you don't like says something to you, you are offended much more quickly than if somebody you do like says something a little edgy to you. Huh? I don't know about ladies, but I know men friends can say insulting things to each other in a joking way. Right? We won't take that from somebody who's not our friend. Right? We have a flexible and vacillating standard, and so we judge poorly. Christ judges perfectly because his knowledge is perfect. Someday, when you have to give an account for your life, his judgment of you will be perfect because he knows you perfectly. There is nothing hidden from him. He knows the best of who you are. He knows the worst of who you are. And so he's capable of judging you perfectly. Christ judges perfectly because he doesn't suffer from the imperfections of bias. Christ judges perfectly because his standard is his own perfect justice and knowledge. You will get a fair deal from Christ because he is perfect in his knowledge of you and his judgment of you will be perfect. And Paul said, I trust him. I trust him. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now let me wrap this all up. Christ knows me perfectly, and he doesn't need instruction from me. I need instruction from him. Christ knows me perfectly. He doesn't need me to critique him. I need him to critique me. Christ knows me perfectly. He doesn't have to trust what I know. I have to trust what he knows. And then I have this beautiful statement, we have the mind of Christ. What Christ knows about you is available to you if you will let him critique you. Church, if you will let him critique you, you have all the benefits of the mind of Christ. He knows you perfectly. He knows exactly when to work on what part of you and how to work on that part of you. And if we will let him critique us, we will become more like him. And so when we have to give an account, we will be given an account for having become more and more and more the person of the mind of Christ. Church, I'm asking each one of you to say to yourself, what does God know? And answer, God knows me perfectly. And because he knows me perfectly, I have to let him critique me so he can perfect me into the complete person he created me to be. Our dear Heavenly Father, how impressive Christ is. How I find myself impressed with him in new and compelling ways. I pray for myself. I pray for everyone who's here this morning. I pray for all our friends who are watching online. I pray that Christ would be exalted in our understanding and we would trust his perfect knowledge. We would accept his critiques. We would grow into the full person you created us to be. And when we give account to you, it will be with joy and not with sorrow.